is at war. Globalists and leftists have taken over the highest levels of our state and federal government, our state houses, Congress, Supreme Court, and even the highest office of the land. They are indoctrinating our children, corrupting our morals, dividing our people, and attempting to eradicate God. But the weapon they cannot withstand is a people united under God and armed with the truth. Now join Pastor Steve Taylor, Director of Christian Rights Ministries and President of the Alliance Legal Group, for another episode of the Faith and Freedom Network.
Good afternoon, Hampton Roads. This is Steve Taylor, Last Days News, and the excitement of on-air live broadcast.
There you go. Well, we figured it out one way or another.
Well, it's probably my fault. I'm going at the Trinity Christian Church studio.
And you changed locations on me.
we've got locations all over Hampton Roads. And this show is sponsored by the Alliance Legal Group. Where's Freddy at today?
His wife is actually graduating from Liberty University this weekend, so he is off celebrating with her.
Wow, this is great. We get the old times with Colleen.
Well, manager. It's all good. We try to take care of you one way or another, but I'm glad to help out where I can.
Okay, well, very good. So that if you could share with the listening audience who sponsors this program, that'd be awesome.
Great. Well, the Last Days News with Steve Taylor is being brought to you by Alliance Legal Group right here in Hampton Roads. Let me see if I'm not rusty on telling you all the information, but they're a great sponsor of the program. They have a legal firm right here in the Hampton Roads area with several locations. As Steve's mentioned, he's all throughout the Hampton Roads area, easily accessible for you to discuss issues of bankruptcy or other legal needs. He covers a lot of different areas. The best way to reach out to Alliance Legal Group is going to debtfreeva.com. So you want to go to debtfreeva.com and you can chat there. You can schedule a session. You can find out all information about their firm there. So we invite you to do that. Let them know that you hear the program and that you sponsor the program. So, or you support the program by listening in. We'd love to have you do that. Go to debtfreeva.com. If you want to connect with us here at the station, you can do that as well. We have a call-in number that you can use from now until 1:30. It's 757-488-5299, 757-488-5299, and that will get you in with us on the call. You can certainly always chat with us and tell us your comments and your questions as well.
Well, that's terrific, Colleen, and we do appreciate the listening audience out there, and again, we are in the Trinity Christian Church of Suffolk Broadcasting Studios, a.k.a. my office. And just a couple quick announcements. You know, one, as far as the Alliance Legal Group, that do come to our website, www.debtfreeva.com. And then we would like to know that you're watching or listening, depending upon how you're getting this feed. And also that, again, that they have a chat box there that will take your questions, your comments, your request as far as setting up an appointment, and we'll schedule an appointment with an attorney, myself or another one of the fine attorneys we have at the Alliance Legal Group. We have four offices in Hampton Roads. However, we do all of Virginia, that when it comes to bankruptcy, that there's no place that we don't go. Eastern District, Western District, the whole bit. And we've been doing this I've been doing this since 1990. The Law Office of Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, the firm that you'll be dealing with, has been doing, we've been doing this since 1995, about 27 years, I guess, at this point. And we're one of the largest bankruptcy filing law practices in the Hampton Roads area. So we'll take care of you. We're Hampton Roads hometown attorneys, and we've been doing this for a long time, doing a lot of good work for a lot of folks. And we're also a Christian law practice. What does that mean? Well, that means that we're a Christ-centered law practice. We have a mission, vision, statement to operate a Christ-centered law practice, emphasizing and relying on biblical principles, not worldly principles, in order to effectively and efficiently serve the legal and spiritual needs of our clients, community, and employees. And we would love to help you and to support His perfect will. That's the last part of that. Don't want to forget that. And again, if there's any way that we can help you, please go to our website, www.debtfreeva.com, and set up an appointment. We'd love to talk to you. And again, that if you want to call in, this is a phone call-in-based radio program, a talk show that you can participate, and that we would ask you to do that at 757 888-528-5299. I believe Tony's probably already online, isn't he?
No, actually, he's not yet.
Usually Tony's the first caller, and we're almost going to call this Steve Taylor's Last Days News, or Steve Taylor.
Speaking of, here.
Oh, boy. So I must be Tony there. But, folks, today is National Day of Prayer. And we have a lot to be prayerful and thankful for this National Day of Prayer. You might say, well, what in the world do we have to be thankful for? Well, for waking up would be the first thing. But the next big thing on our national agenda is the recent decision, or at least the leaked decision, that is relating to the abortion issues. And Tony, are you there?
Tony's here.
I'm here. How you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. Did you couldn't get on the BRF?
No, when I get back in Prescott, I'll sit down. Maybe I'll call Troy and have her walk me through it when next time.
Gotcha. Well, today is the National Day of Prayer, and so we welcome you, Tony. Welcome all the listeners out there. I was telling the folks that you're such a regular at this point that you, I think we're going to start calling this the Steve and Tony Last Days News. It might be the Tony and Steve Last Days News.
How about the God, Tony, and Steve, Last Day News.
Well, that reminds, thank you for reminding me, Tony, that we made a commitment to open these shows off with prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get started, okay? Father, we pray in the name of Jesus, and Lord, this is your day, this is your show, and we are your people. And you tell us that if your people who are called by your name shall pray and humble themselves and seek your face and turn from their wicked ways, then, Father, that you will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. And we thank you so much for hearing our prayer, God. We thank you, Lord, so much for granting us repentance. We thank you for the grace that you show us as individuals. But even now, God, we recognize how you're moving in our nation and granting us repentance at the highest levels of our nation, even at the Supreme Court. And so, Father, we're going to trust you to complete that which you have started. Lord, we're looking for a great revival. And, Father, we thank you for this day that we can have the power of prayer emanating from all points in America, God, directly to your throne room. And so, Father, we give you this day, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, National Day of Prayer, a lot of things to – and we got Colleen today. Did you realize that Colleen's –
Yeah, we did.
Decided, yeah.
Filling in today.
Yeah. And relatively, we had a little bit of a hiccup getting started, but
that way you can't entirely blame it on operator error. It was me. Probably.
Oh, no, we would never do that. I think it was probably me. But anyhow, that we're talking about the National Day of Prayer, and again, we're talking about what very well could be the beginning of a revival. Let's just say it the way it is. This could be the beginning of a revival, Tony and Colleen. You know, mm-hmm. My dad used to always say that nothing happens without a cause. There's always a first cause. And the Bible specifically states that repentance is a grace, a supernatural power given by God to turn from our sins. It's been 50 years. It's been 50 years since the original decision of Roe versus Wade and the companion case of Casey versus Planned Parenthood came out. And since 1971, I believe we've been under God's judgment. Would you believe, Colleen, that when do you think the Great Reset, when do you think the World Economic Forum was formed?
Yes. Oh, I don't know that, but since you're leaning in that direction, I'd say it has to be right around
71, right 71. After that same year. Yeah. When did America go off the gold standard by President Nixon? 1971.
Wow. Okay.
You know, and so two of the biggest issues that we see in America today is this Great Reset and the weaponization of the monetary system by the globalists to destroy America, but it all began, well, it began a long time before that, but that kind of there's certainly a good argument that that the straw that broke the camel's back was America's decision to go ahead and just make a constitutional right to kill babies. You know, that's about as crazy as Molech, offering children to Molech back in the Old Testament. And, you know, we've seen a creeping sort of problem happen since 1971. And to be quite frank with you, Antonio, I'll direct this at you, that, you know, over the last 2 years, we've seen just truth thrown in the trash can, and nothing to do about it. And the emergence of this globalist power, this cabal that seems unstoppable. In fact, there's been very little to be excited about, because it seemed like all our prayers have, not all, but for the majority of the things that we've prayed for during the last 2 years, have just gone to naught. So how do you see this decision, or at least it's not a decision. We need to be aware of that. It's not a decision. It's a leaked draft of a February position that the Supreme Court had. It's far from being a decision. It's something we need to certainly keep in prayer. But how do you see this whole matter of the abortion issue?
Well, God's scripture said, if a people who are called by my name will simply humble themselves and pray to me, I'll restore their land. And we've been praying for a long time. We've been through, if you go back through history and biblical history, they went through a long time of prayer before God responded because of the things they did. And I think we might be seeing the first signs of that rumbling happening right now as a nation. And it doesn't mean everyone has to pray, but it means a large portion of the nation is seeking God in this process. And we might be seeing some of the first rumblings of that happening. I believe that wholeheartedly. And I believe that as we do more and more, the better it's going to get. God may come forward in this and do something that would totally confound the enemy.
Well, you know, we need to take a look at this whole situation from a biblical worldview. What is that?
Today we'll provide protections.
That's on your computer, I think.
Oh, okay, yeah. I was watching I pulled up an article about the protest in front of the Supreme Court, and that they are just they've erected fences up there. That they've got the Capitol Police there. That they're all ready for some big riots and stuff like that, because these leftists, these abortionists, these people that want to believe that basically they want to believe that God would, they're mostly atheists and, people that don't have any belief or some sort of skewed belief in God, but that they would believe that it is their right to abort babies in their womb because, that they feel like they should be able to have sex and not have consequences and be able to have more sex and just let the babies go, it's not a big deal to them. And so this all started, back in 71 with Planned Parenthood versus Casey, and it actually happened before that, before Planned Parenthood. It happened in a case called Griswold versus Connecticut. And that in that case, the Supreme Court came up with this penumbra of rights, of which the privacy right was implicitly found within the Constitution. And, of course, from that, it just grew tentacles, and that every sort of wicked sort of decision has emanated from that. And what we've seen is just a growth in rights. The Obergefell decision, the homosexual marriage decision, was foundationally based on some of the issues in Roe. And so, these leftists, these world globalists, these atheists, these folks that believe that you can kill babies in the mother's womb and do it with impunity, are really upset that basically that, these anti-constitutional decisions that have allowed them to put their Marxism and their atheism in the United States, they're really concerned that basically that this might be something that might be a house of cards. Might see a lot of cases start going down, including their prized possession, you know, abortion, you know, killing babies in mothers' wombs by right and because of this so-called right of privacy that was developed in 1971 in the Roe and Casey cases. So we're going to be talking about this today. And so, folks, if you've got, there's lots of strong positions both ways, you know, that that you're welcome to have either position. You can certainly tell us your position about why you somehow feel that Roe versus Wade would be a good thing to keep in effect, that we probably won't agree with you, but you certainly, we respect your right to free speech and be able to discuss that issue. In fact, that you know, that one of the big things that we see happening right now, we saw Joe Biden. Did you see that? I didn't see it, but I was told about it. Said something about MAGA people being dangerous. Did you hear about that, Colleen?
Right, they were talking about that on Jay Sekulow before your program. That you know, Biden has now kind of basically gone back to calling people who are supportive of, you know, life and those kind of things, and even labeling it MAGA supporters or whatever. And the MAGA side of things are now terrorists, or you know, going back to the domestic terrorist kind of thing, and labeling us as extremists as far as that goes as well.
Do you see an agenda on that?
Of course. I mean, and he also, there was another quote or another piece of audio clip from President Biden as well, where he was saying we have to make sure that Roe stays in, or oh no, here's all the consequences. Like, what if Florida decides to, you know, take back and like you mentioned the case about the gay marriage or whatever, and say now it's going to be illegal in the state of Florida, because you know that goes back to, you know, with Roe versus Wade going away, it goes, puts those rights back to the state. So now all of these kind of cases that were on a national level will go to state level, and you know, obviously pinpointing these more conservative states, the states that have more conservative legislation and governance.
Constitutional.
Right.
You know, the issue is you have some laws that are just unconstitutional. You know,
right.
Homosexual marriage has never been ordained by the, especially not on a federal mandated level.
Well, the whole
society.
Well, the holes that they were putting through it. I mean, I haven't read all of it, and I'm not legal, and that's why I love having your opinion on this, because you come from that lawyer background, the legal background, you know, where even the parts that were leaked by Judge Alito, you know, where they were mentioning, you know, how Roe versus Wade was never the proper, I don't know, legal way of doing things, you know, or whatever either. So why it took 50 years for them to get to this point, and we understand why it took 50 years because of the agenda behind keeping that in place. But, you know, it certainly is call for, you know, wonderment, you know, that it took that long. And but now, of course, the people who are against it and why it was leaked in the first place and all of that goes back, and I don't know if we'll, hopefully we'll see some progress in that part of it, but there's such an agenda at work, you know, to make sure that we find out. I mean, the full force, the public relations against it is coming out. You know, you hear all the spokespeople talking about how this is horrible, and you know, it hasn't even gone into effect.
Well, you know, this, you know, and we are seeing it. We're seeing Pelosi, we're seeing Pocahontas, you know, that Elizabeth Warren, she's angry, upset too, you know, that the Supreme Court is planning to overturn Roe versus Wade. And, you know, you got all these pro-abortion, you know, you can call them Democrats, socialists, whatever you want to call them. You know, they're all showing up on Capitol Hill showing that, you know, that how, you know, that along hordes of, you know, baby-killing women screaming and howling about they have a right to murder babies, and it needs to remain legal, especially at the federal level. And and that, you know, you hear this Elizabeth Warren, this, you know, so-called representative, calling on pro-life members to be investigated, like you said, for their extremist views. You know, that it seems like what, let me tell you, that God's in control. You know, nothing, you know, the Bible talks about, we talked in the beginning of this, is that the Bible talks about when you turn from your sin, and this is a national turn from our sin, it's initiated not by the people that did it, but by God himself. It's grace. You give grace supernatural power to do what your flesh would otherwise tell you to do. It's grace. And so
what we see is the commencement of a grace movement. Now, let me say this to you, that, you know, I've heard these pundits say, well, you know, that this this clerk, whoever released this leak, did it for lots of reasons. One, you know, they said, like we said before, was to foment riots, you know, to try to turn, you know, the two moderate, I guess that's best you can call them, Kavanaugh and Comey Barrett, change their votes to align. You know, Roberts, the chief judge, I think he's been working behind the scenes trying to get one of those two to switch, so it wouldn't be a majority constitutional decision, but rather just a limited decision, you know, like a 4 against the Constitution, 3 saying, or, you know, 4, I guess, 4, and yeah, I guess 4 and then 2, but there wouldn't be a majority saying it's unconstitutional. It'll just be a plural decision saying that, you know, that the law should not be overturned, right? So that the bottom line is that the so with this leaked case coming out, that, you know, that it blows Robert's chance to get one of the two to join him in this plurality decision, which would be less than a constitutional decision. But I think they thought that, or I think there's a possibility, one of the arguments is that they thought, well, maybe we can change this into a plurality decision, so therefore it's not a constitutional decision, that Roe versus Wade would still be alive and we could still kill babies in any way they want to kill them on a federal constitutional level. Or possibly, and along the same vein, that there would be protest and riots in the streets. You know, the 2000 election year sort of riots, you know, with Black Lives Matter and Antifa, those type of things, riots in the streets. You know, California's already getting protests and they're becoming violent and the people are getting arrested and things of that nature. But there would be so much political upheaval that one of the Amy Comey Barrett or Kavanaugh might switch over and do that plurality decision. So that was kind of the thought as well. Or there was another thought that by giving by creating this acrimonious sort of environment, that they would be well positioned to win the midterm elections. You know, that they'll say, oh my goodness, you know, all the people, which is a lie, want to kill babies, and now they're taking away the right to kill babies in their mother's womb so they can have unbridled sex without consequences. America's going to really hate that, and they're going to vote the people out of office. I think that could have been a possible way that whoever that clerk, whoever released that thing, was said. But the truth of the matter is that no matter what the globalists want to do, no matter what if this is an act of God, a move of repentance that he's placed upon the Supreme Court, the highest court in the land, or at least a couple of the people, two or three, you know, Trump put three appointees in, and they seem to be going the right direction on this decision, that if this is repentance and this is a move of God, you can take the greatest reset and the greatest, you know, the Bible calls them the great ones of the earth in Revelation, and they will come to nothing in a minute, because God, this is the best thing that's ever happened in the last couple of years, Colleen. Tony, what's your thought on that?
Well, there's a lot of information to look at out there as a whole. I think we focus on what God's doing and what we're doing with God, and we allow these things to play out, monitor, be part of. We need to participate in all this stuff for the first time. This is the first chance we've had in years to actually voice our opinions on what's happening in this country. And I think we can do a really good job of following up with us as people involved, versus just letting the political thing play itself out.
You know, one of the arguments that I saw that Pocahontas was making, you know, Elizabeth Warren, was that she was angry because it'll make it harder for poor minority women to get abortions. Have you heard that already, Colleen?
Yeah,
Oh, I can just imagine. I haven't heard her specifically speak on that, but that, I mean, it always goes back to, oh, you know, you're going to make it difficult for people and
kill their babies.
You know, it's just unfortunate. And that's why, I mean, I love to hear when people who are in, who know better, who are in those environments, who speak against that and say they're targeting those particular groups of people, unfortunately, and capitalizing on their misfortune or, you know, in those kinds of things. And so, you know, definitely there's arguments against that. And that's just, again, talking to, oh, well, they can't afford it. And, oh, we're oppressing people. And, you know, it's just difficult because they have to have that rhetoric because that's what helps continue it on.
Well, let's tell the truth. Tony, what's it? I think you know what a eugenicist is, don't you?
Yep, kind of. I can read you the definition. I looked up a little while ago.
Well, Margaret Sanger was a eugenicist. Why don't you tell us what a eugenicist is? Margaret Sanger was the founder of Planned Parenthood, and so when she goes around telling when people go around and say, "Oh, Planned Parenthood is really good," you know, they're trying to prevent minority women from not being able to kill their babies, and that's a good thing. You know, tell us why what the thought behind Planned Parenthood was, and Margaret Sanger, the person who found it. What's a eugenicist?
Eugenics is a scientific term used. It's a form of racism. They use it to control and lead the thought process to get you to an end result they want to have you believe is factual.
Yeah, well, it's basically not helping minority people that basically need health care. You know, what Sanger argued was for the sterilization and segregation for people of color and disabilities. That's what they were. And so whenever you hear about, you know, how good Planned Parenthood is, they're eugenicist background. They're the most racist folks in the whole world.
Right.
They wanted to eliminate. I mean, and they preyed upon, like Colleen was saying, they preyed upon people that didn't have the information. Whether you look at Darwin, whether you look at Sanger, whether you look at Bill Gates, you know, those are the guys that want to sterilize the most, what they call useless eaters. But they have complete disrespect for God's creation. They think that they are all that in a bag of potato chips, and that everybody else needs to be either eliminated or controlled or sterilized so they don't reproduce. That was the goal behind Planned Parenthood. It was a racist, eugenicist operation by Sanger that was carried on year after year and decade after decade for the primary purpose of eliminating the minorities. That's really what it was for. But that you'll have these people beholden to Planned Parenthood say, oh, they're so great people. They're all for the, you know, the minorities and the blacks and the Hispanics and all this. They're, you know, my goodness, the poorest people around aren't going to be able to get, what do they call it? They called it reproductive care. What kind of reproductive care is Colin, you tell me. Reproductive care, is that 1984 speak? You know, what is that?
It's just a nice way of couching it. You know, it's reproductive care is just a nice way of, or, you know, it's a tolerable way of saying it, or it makes it sound like you're trying to keep people from having, medical care, you know, when it's actually not exactly what they're trying to accomplish when they're going to those facilities, for sure.
It's bait and switch. It's a bait and switch program. And if you look at what Bill Gates said at one of the national forums, his words were, and I quote, and I've rehearsed this many times, so I'm quoting exactly what he said. He said, "We can control the world the world disease of children through inoculation and birth control." He didn't pluralize it. He meant it singularly. He looked at children as an affliction to the world because there's too many of them being born.
Well, and particularly the ones that Sanger, you know, Planned Parenthood, you know, what we're all talking about here as far as being overturned, Planned Parenthood versus Casey, Roe versus Wade, this kind of stuff. Not to mention, like our Mike the other day, it was complete sham. Mike, the caller that called in the other day, complete sham cases. Let me just read to you what the Way to Peace, you know, they call it the Way to Peace, Sanger did, you know, how they're going to have this, you know, world without poverty and illness, this humanitarian dream that she had, you know, for herself, you know, and her, you know, her people, you know, this is her speech, Way to Peace, 1932. It says that there'd be a vigorous state use of compulsory sterilization. Now, that sterilization, guess what? When you have an abortion, the chances are that you're going to be able to reproduce go way down. Not to mention that the 60 million babies that have been killed during the last 50 years, they would have grandchildren by now. But and of course, those kids aren't going to have no kids. And so the compulsory sterilization and segregation, you know, choose the ones that you want to make it and then sterilize the ones that you don't. The first class of persons targeted would be the people with mental or physical disabilities. And that what they would do is control the intake and output of what she calls morons, mental defectives, epileptics. But then there's a much larger class of undesirables, of which, you know, these people that, you know, the poverty-stricken people, people that aren't making enough money, not like her. And so the second step would be to take an inventory of such groups. Sound familiar? Let's figure out how much money you make and what your racial background is. And if you were illiterate, paupers, unemployable, criminal, prostitutes, dope fiends, classify them in special departments and then segregate those to camps. And so that only return them to the mainstream society if they went sterilization and demonstrated good behavior. That's the kind of society she wanted. That's what Planned Parenthood is based on. It was to go after non-whites that basically didn't fit her social economic class, and then kill them, sterilize them. And so that's the great Planned Parenthood that we have all these Democrat politicians beholden themselves to. And the really great thing, though, Tony, listeners, Colleen, is that God has heard us after, I don't know how many years, every National Day of Prayer, we always pray, oh, Lord, you know, please help us with this. We repent from this killing babies, you know. And then this year, possibly, just maybe, God is answering that prayer. And if God, listen, if God starts something, he's well able to finish it, no matter how great a reset they're trying to do. What do you think about that, Colleen?
No, I think you're right. I mean, we continue to be faithful and pray and put forth and, you know, see how these things come to be. And certainly it's not the answer to everything. I mean, it's definitely a step in the right direction for this. But then, you know, with that possibly going away on a national level, then it goes to the states. And then so each of the states is more individually and however that turns out to be. I mean, it certainly will see definitely any baby saved. So one baby saved from this will be an answer to prayer. So the more that happens with it, hopefully people will start to see that there's a change that needs to take place. And we'll realize that, you know, stop doing the evil that you're doing and continue on with the good and have ways that people can respond to that. You're always going to have the evil. You're always going to have the protesters. I mean, it's just deception that you see out there, but I'm hoping that, you know, our next generation of young people will see that it's important to value life on all levels.
Well, you know, we're at the end of our rope. If God doesn't move in a big way, you know, why we call this program Steve Taylor's Last Days News, Steve and Tony's Last Days News, is because the bottom line is if we don't do something remarkable very quickly, Last Days News is not going to mean that we're going to have another generation. Let me just share with you Sanger's eugenics project, you know, and as it, you know, the preoccupation it has to race. In a letter dated December 10th, 1939, to Clarence Gamble, I got the letter right here. She explained the nature of her organization's outreach to the African-American community. And what she said is this. She says, the most successful educational approach, you know, how do you deceive people, right? That's what they're saying. The most successful educational approach to the Negro is through a religious appeal. I mean, go to their churches, tell the preachers to tell their congregants that, you know, Planned Parenthood is a good thing. You shouldn't have kids until you're ready. And if you got a baby, that you might just consider Planned Parenthood through a religious appeal. We don't want the word to get out that we want to exterminate the Negro population. And the minister is the man who can straighten out that idea if it ever occurs to any of their more rebellious members. In her autobiography, she proudly recounts her address to the women of the KKK in Silver Lake, New Jersey in 1926. You know, wow. I'm just telling you that if you're of color and you somehow have believed anything that your or any representative has told you or they told you yourself that Planned Parenthood is a good thing, the founder said that they didn't want the word to get out that their goal was to exterminate the Negro population. That was their goal. I mean, about how evil you can be, I don't know. And what's amazing is that all these Democratic representatives, I mean, they laud over Planned Parenthood. I mean, that's like their biggest supporter. You know, they're like gold, you know. And they're in there taking these little babies apart and giving them selling the parts for money and for, you know, it's just crazy. So this is Steve Taylor's Last Days News. We have a lot to talk about in the last 20 or so minutes that we have in the back half. We're going to talk about the National Day of Prayer, about what God is doing in the midst of this great reset, and that possibly, just possibly, that God is hearing our prayer. This, you know, if there ever was a mistake that they did, was to do this leak 3 days before the National Day of Prayer. You know, they should have waited till tomorrow. They should have waited till tomorrow. You know, that God plus one is way more, God plus zero is way more than they can possibly handle. They're going to be exposed for the murder and the people, you know, this decision, they said that the Roe and the Doe decision were egregiously decided. I mean, they were completely wrong. So, folks, this is Last Days News. This is Steve Taylor. This is sponsored by the Alliance Legal Group. We invite you to go to our website at www.debtfreeva.com and join us in a chat, and we'll put you on with an attorney, or come directly to our website or to the phone now and dial 757-488-5299. That's 488-5299, and join us. Tony, tell us what the National Day of Prayer, what you know about the National Day of Prayer, especially what verses that that the National Day of Prayer has adopted for this year's.
They have Colossians 2, verse 6 and 7.
Tell us a little bit about that. Can you read those to us, then give your thoughts on it?
I'm trying to bring them back up. I'm having a few glitches in my phone, so can you pull it up real quick?
Sure, I can. So Colossians 2. No, you remember Colossians 2? Well, you know, of course, you know, just before that, you have the Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And so that's go eat popcorn, right? That's how you go eat popcorn. I've got it too, but go ahead.
I've never heard that in my life. Go eat popcorn. Now I'll never forget it.
You can also do this. You can say General Electric Power Company. All right, and this is really cool too, listeners. Once you get to Colossians, you go General Electric Power Company, you know, or you know, go eat popcorn. That's my grandma's favorite; she liked popcorn. But then, when you get to Colossians, and you got the Colossians, you just say colossal T's, just colossal T's, because all the T's just come out from everywhere, and they're all alphabetical T's. Did you know that? They're all alphabetical. So you know, just so that. We have the four T's in the New Testament come right after Colossians, the colossal T's, and that they are alphabetical. T-H-E, first T-H-E, yeah. Thessalonians, second T-H-E, second, and then first Tim, mm-hmm. And then second Tim, which is, you know, I is after H. So if you can get to Galatians, which is not hard to do, then you got the next eight given. All right, go ahead, Tony. I'm sorry.
Okay, so it says, this is Colossians 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your life in him. Verse 7, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. Now, that's 6 and 7. That's the two verses, and it's unique because right after that's a warning. The warning is, it's verse 8, see that no one takes you captive through hollow or deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than on Christ. So the scripture they picked tells you what to do, and there's a warning what happens if you don't, right at the end of it.
Well, and let's kind of break that down. So let's talk about that. Colossians, of course, this is the Paul's epistle letter to the church at Colossus. And, you know, he's point right here. You know, he's talking about a couple things about how we're supposed to live our lives as Christians. And so that's why they're using this verse today as the National Day of Prayer. You know, in this moment of crisis that they're saying, this is what you need to do, the church at Colossae was needing this word. We need this word today too. And it says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, so he's talking to Christians, the Lord, so walk ye in him. So if you receive Jesus, then start acting like a Christian. That's what he's saying. So walk like Jesus. You know, so he says what you need in this moment of crisis is that if you receive Jesus, then start acting like a Christian. That's what he's saying. And then it says in 7, rooted and built up in him. That means not just, you know, superficially, but all the way down to the roots. You know, start taking your faith seriously. Start living for Jesus and be willing to die for Jesus. And establish in go ahead, Tony.
And what people have to realize is that rooted means if your roots go deep into what you believe in, you just like a tree is standing up against the wind and a storm, you won't be easily moved in your directional belief from where you are. You'll know that this is the truth versus a lie. When you're not rooted deeply in scripture, in God, or in Jesus, you're very easily swayed. Like the one verse says, you're like a ship on the water. You know, you're tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Oh, that's what's happening to our nation right now. It's fighting that really hard. So it's time for us to dig in and seek God in a way we've never done before and let him respond through us, with us.
Well, you know, and in chapter 1, you know, Paul's telling the church, you know, this Gentile church that, you know, this was in Asia Minor, Turkey area, that these were Gentiles, that what he was saying was these people that were once far off from God have now, that God has chosen them to be made known, God to be known among the Gentiles, the glorious riches of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so that's what it says in Colossians 1:27. So he's saying, listen, that you're not just a human being that's being tossed to and fro along the waves of this world and being subject to the every whim that these globalists want to do to you. You got Jesus in you. That's what he's saying. He says you got the power. He says the glorious riches of this mystery, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And so he goes on in the next chapter saying, so if you've actually accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, stop worrying. He says, start walking. Stop worrying. Start walking like Jesus, rooted and built up in him. You know, I know so many Christians right now that are quote unquote Christians, you know, that are so bent out of shape about this world. You know, they're worried. They're very, very worried. They're having miserable days day after day after day. Do you know anybody that like that, Tony? Of course you do.
Well, I have lots of friends that don't do that. Lots of friends.
And the bottom line is, he says we need to be rooted in Jesus, understanding that we've got the hope of glory in us, that built up in Jesus, That means we're reading our Bible, we're understanding what the Word of God says, established in Jesus, established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with a lot of pessimism. No, it doesn't say that. It says with a lot of thanksgiving. And so that's what it says. It says that we, of all people, should be the most thankful and joyous people. And when we see this repentance happening at this Supreme Court level, we should be saying, glory, hallelujah. You know, God is on the throne and he's getting ready to do something great. And that's what he's doing right now. That, you know, listen, these globalists, you know, it says that it says that the person that says that there is no, is a fool who says there's no God. You know, this Harari that wants to give you eternal life through a test tube and a microchip. They say he's a fool. He's an atheistic fool. And the truth is all their atheistic, it says that to them, Christ is foolishness. Those that perish. Those that perish, Jesus doesn't mean nothing to them because they don't got Jesus. They're trying to figure out how to avoid whatever's going to happen when they die, because deep down inside their heart, it's written in their heart, they got condemnation coming. They're going to try to download their brain onto a chip and then avoid the damnation that's in the back of their head. They know it's going to happen. But Christ in Psalms 2, he laughs at them. He laughs at the kings of the earth. You know, to them that are perishing, Jesus is foolishness. But to us, that he is the wisdom of God. And then you say something, so we should be very thankful that we're going through this thing. We should be very confident because we have the hope of glory in us, that we should be acting and talking and loving like Jesus and hoping these guys repent so they don't have to go to hell. But then he also tells us a really encouraging thing in number 8. You were talking about it. He gives us a warning again about something. Share that with us again, Tony.
Well, he says, don't be deceived. Like, don't be easily deceived. And
he says, beware lest any man fool you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ.
Yeah, you're reading from the King James Version, right?
Yeah, I sure am.
Yeah. Now, I'm going to jump into the, hold on one second, let me get this up. Each version gives you a little more information. You got to be careful because some versions really change the meaning of stuff, and I'm really cautious about that. But he's telling you point blank, be aware that there's people who are going to try and deceive you with the rhetoric of the world. They're going to try and take you down a path that's not factual.
What kind of false tradition is going around now, Tony? You have any idea? False philosophy.
Well, you've got the whole LGBTQ thing happening. You've got all the stuff with the crazy vaccine doctrine. You got all the stuff with the governmental belief system we have right now that we are just subservient to the government, when in fact the government was established to help us and protect us. All these things are being pushed in front of us, and they're trying to get us to buy into these belief systems. And a man can have a baby. That's the craziest thing ever. I mean, I've had a kidney stone.
A man can be a woman. I mean, a woman can be a man.
Yeah.
I mean, what kind of ridiculousness is that? And then they use these ridiculous, you know, Harari says that, you know, it's basically a religion. You know, it's going to come out of Silicon Valley. But, you know, that any sort of philosophy that would take the principles that are true and fundamental and then turn them over into denying God, I mean, it's just ridiculous. And it's foolishness. And the bottom line is that's the doctrine of man. That's the rudiments of the world. That's the tradition that they're telling to avoid. That's what Paul's telling the... Don't listen to these guys. That's what he's telling them. Don't listen to these guys. You know, all you Christians out there, work like a Christian, think like a Christian, be taught like a Christian, read the Bible. It says God created man and female, male and female, he created them. He didn't say he made them so they were gender fluid. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, that's... But they want you to believe that.
I was going to tell you, I've had a kidney stone, and I've passed a kidney stone. And I remember the excruciating pain it was to pass a piece of sand through my male anatomy. There's no way a baby's coming through that.
I agree with you there. I'll tell you that. So the bottom line is that, you know, what the, I think I, give me a takeaway that you've got as far as those scriptures. You know, one, it says that if you receive Jesus, then walk like Jesus, rooted up and built in Jesus, established in the faith as ye have been taught with thanksgiving. And then it says, beware any person spoil you with their false doctrine. That's what it says.
Well, and I like the New King James Version because it says, beware lest anyone cheat you, deceive you. Okay, so basically what God's trying to tell you is they're going to rob you of me. They're going to steal me from you.
Yeah.
You think about it, you can't be more clear than verse 6 and 7. It says real clear, as you therefore have received Jesus the Lord, walk in him, walk with him, walking with him in you, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving. You can't be any more clear than that.
Yep. What's your thoughts, Colleen?
No, those are great verses, especially for them to establish as their key verses this time, because we have to have our foundation set in Christ and always be aware that there are people who are going to try to get us off our focus and turn us away. So we need to be aware of that deception, those people who are going to steer us off the path, the philosophies that are going to get us, preoccupied with other things. So I like that. I don't have the verses in front of me. I do remember memorizing those and using them as scripture. And obviously the different versions have the different words that speak to you, but to be careful of those that are going to, get you off of that focus.
Well, Paul says that we should be rooted and built up in Jesus, strengthened in the faith that we were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. You know, the problem I think today is that our society has become a rootless one. I mean, we don't have roots. You know, not only have we been uprooted from, I mean, this whole pandemic uprooted us from our churches, moved us away from each other. That's what the whole idea was. You know, that the whole cultural Marxism thing is about destroying the roots of America, by critical thinking, by criticizing the patriarchal family, the father-led family, the biblical role-type family, to destroy our... Why do you think they're destroying all our statues? They're trying to get rid of our roots. That's what they're doing. They're getting rid of our traditions. They're getting rid of our the basis of what we were founded on, our Judeo-Christian background. That's why you see, We've been seeing this happen for a number of years. We've had this Christian fluff in our churches for a long time. But that, these mega churches and things of that nature, your best life now, your best life isn't now. Your best life is going to be when you're with Jesus after this world is over. But that's not the kind of fluff that we get. When we look at a tree, the biggest portion of the tree, if you could see beneath the surface, is the portion down deep in the ground. That's where we need to be. We need to be deep in Jesus. Tony, we only got a couple minutes left. Give us your thoughts.
It's amazing how God gives us lots of instruction, lots of input, and we skim through the instructions, and then when problems come, we try to do it in our own natural faith. And I'll use the example when I lost my keys. I lost my keys on the road coming back. I just got done telling you we should pray a lot more for everything we do. I hang the phone up, you call me back and say, hey, Tony, didn't you just say we should pray? We pray, and within a minute, my wife finds the keys in a place we've already looked at least four or five times, So they couldn't have been there, but now suddenly, magically, they're there. And I believe that's what we have to understand. We are living in a place where if we don't have an anchor for our compass, then the compass moves erratically. And our anchor is Jesus. Our anchor is Him. If we stay anchored to Him, then the rest of the trip gets a lot easier.
You know, as we close up, folks, you know, the two things that I just want to hit on. One, in this verse they've given us, you know, it says, abounding therein with thanksgiving. We need to be way more thankful. God is in the move right now that we've been placed at the edge of history, at the end of the age, and we're watching God make a massive move. We need to get in line with Jesus. We need to start walking with Jesus. We need to start talking about Jesus to other people. We need to start reading our Bible, acting like Christians. And but the final thing, this warning, this philosophy of men, this doctrine of men, this pseudo-philosophy, it was happening back then. It was those, you know, the Aristotles and stuff like that, all those people that thought they were real bright, thought they were real learned. God was saying, those that pretend to be wise are fools if they don't have Jesus. So when the next time you hear all this stuff about, you know, all these, you know, what is it called? Peer-reviewed stuff about how great this vaccine is for you, don't believe it. Trust me. It's not, you know, that's the wisdom of the world. Folks, we're down to 2 minutes. It's the National Day of Prayer. We have much to be thankful for. Tony, I'm going to give you a one shot at it, then we'll give Colleen one shot, and we'll close it up on this National Day of Prayer. You tell us what you think.
Well, I think you just said it a minute ago. We're living in a time, we've all heard the stories of, you know, my great-great-grandfather lived during that time. My great-great-uncle lived during that time. He went through that thing in history. What we don't realize is we're going through that same thing for us. 20 years from now, 10 years from now, however long before Jesus comes back, we're going to be talking about, do you remember in 2022 when things were really bad and how we got through that and the focus was on God? We're living in that same historical repeating again.
All right. We're going to have to close it off with a quick word from Colleen, and then I'll close us.
I would say stay vigilant, and thank you for tuning in. Remember definitely to acknowledge the Lord today for National Day of Prayer, and count our blessings for sure.
And just remember, in Him, Jesus, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Live today like a Christian, act like a Christian, talk, walk, think, and be established even as Jesus is. God bless you. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next, I guess, Tuesday? Next Tuesday. God bless you. Be in the house of worship this Sunday. Talk to you then. Bye-bye.
You have been listening to the Faith and Freedom Network, sponsored by Steve Taylor and the Alliance Legal Group, Hampton Roads' hometown attorney for more than 30 years. For more information, you can contact them at debtfreeva.com. That's debtfreeva.com. And tune in every Tuesday and Thursday right here on the Lighthouse for Faith and Freedom Network.